Hello everyone, and welcome to the Fulbright Global Scholar Award Pre-Departure Orientation. I'm Susan Mundell. I'm at IIE, and I will be leading the session today. I am joined by my colleagues at IIE, Rachel Capuano and Hillary Price, and also with David Levin, who is Senior Program Officer at the U.S. Department of State Educational and Cultural Affairs Bureau, which is the Fulbright program sponsor. So today, we're going to talk about the administration of the program. You've heard a bunch of different names and probably a few acronyms, so we'll straighten them out today. And then we're also going to talk about the required forms and procedures. We'll also go through your grant terms and benefits, and then we'll also talk about how to share your Fulbright experience. So to get us started, these are the players of the Fulbright program: the U.S. Department of State, IIE and CIES, and Fulbright U.S. embassies and Fulbright commissions. There's really no one single Fulbright office. We all work together to ensure that you have a successful program. So the Council for International Exchange of Scholars is a division of the Institute of International Education, or IIE. And IIE provides the program publicity, outreach, and information to applicants. We manage the application process and administer the peer review. We prepare the grant materials based on the sponsors' allowances and policies. We process the grant payments and amend and renew any grants per our sponsors' approvals. And we distribute and receive interim and final reports. The U.S. Embassy and Fulbright Commissions in the host country, some of the countries that you're going to have binational agreement with the United States government and have a Fulbright Commission in that country, which is the in-country primary point of contact. And other countries that do not are administered by or are supervised by the U.S. Embassy's Public Affairs section. We encourage you to reach out to your embassy and or commission contact for details and questions about housing assistance, airport pickup, security briefing, and in-country orientation. The role of the U.S. Embassies and Fulbright Commissions is to build and maintain relationships with host universities and local government partners, provide ECA with cost information to establish appropriate allowance rates, manage placement and affiliation processes for mainly the traditional core Fulbright programs, and to serve as the primary point of contact while in country. And again, they provide guidance on the visa application process. So IIE is unable to advise or be an expert in the visa process for all countries, and we do rely on our in-country support to provide that guidance and information to you. Next is the U.S. Department of State Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, which is David Levin's organization. And David, actually, I'd like to, if you could say a few words about your role at ECA, that would be helpful.
I'm happy to do. And thank you all for tuning in, and also congratulations on the Fulbright Award. We think that the Global Scholar Program is clearly one of the best things we do through Fulbright, and we congratulate you on getting a grant and hope that, you know, it's a great experience. At ECA, that's a short name for the Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs, I in a sense wear two hats. One is to work on a number of the Fulbright programs, including Global Scholar Program, also some programs that bring Fulbrighters in the United States from abroad to campuses, and also deal with Fulbright enrichment and some Fulbright orientation and things like that. I also wear a hat related to diversity and inclusion. And I do that for Fulbright, but for the other programs across the Bureau as well, sort of asking the question, what are we doing to ensure that we're reaching out to diverse audiences in terms of our outreach and our recruitment and selection and placement, but also looking at the whole topic of diversity and inclusion literally across the entire sort of continuation of a grant process or a program process, you know, looking at orientation, looking at enrichment activities, even looking at reentry, looking at alumni activities when you return from a Fulbright. Are we looking at ways to make sure that, that we're being diverse in all our activities and being inclusive? So in a sense, it's two hats, and sort of diversity in Fulbright is sort of the nexus. But been involved with ECA for a long time. I've been here for 35 years, and I've been involved with Fulbright all of that time virtually. So I'm excited about that, and, you know, again, pleased to have you here and congratulate you again. Thanks very much, Susan.
Thanks, David. Great. So ECA, as the sponsor, oversees the educational, cultural, and informational programs. Sets the operating policies based on regulations provided by the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, which is also known as the FFSB, determines the Fulbright student and scholar program budget, establishes the annual allowance rates and policies, and receives and approves grant amendment requests. Okay. The FFSB is a 12-member board, all of which are presidentially appointed, and they set the overall program policies as well as select all of the grant recipients. That's a very important institution within the Fulbright program. Okay, so moving on to some of the resources that we have available to you. This was provided to you in an email that I sent earlier this year. The webpage, which includes our U.S. Scholar Guide, the medical history and examination form, which you can download and then upload into the IIE participant portal. Also information about IIE pay and the accidents and sickness participants expense health benefit information, ASPE for short. This is your medical benefits that we'll talk about in a little greater detail later on. We also on this site have information about taxes. Essentially, we do not provide any W-2. We don't withhold any taxes, but the Fulbright grant is a considered taxable income. And also on this page, we have a sample press release, which you can use to share share in the excitement of your Fulbright Award. This is our internal web page that's available to the Fulbright grantee recipients and it is password protected. The password is up there for your reference, CIES, all in capital letters, _grantee, all in lowercase letters, and an exclamation point. Bear in mind that this website is a resource and tool for all Fulbright U.S. scholars, so some of the information may not necessarily be applicable to the Fulbright Scholar Award, but much of those resources are relevant. And if at any time you have questions, please feel free to reach out to us. Okay, so the participant portal. You've already been invited to the portal, and I hope that you have logged in already. This is, we have the address up there for you, and also we have a guide for how to use the portal, and the link is also available on the slide. The login information, checklist, and instructions were sent to you by separate email. In the portal, this is where you can add 2 emergency contacts. Also verify all the personal information that's in there. And this is also where you will be uploading and receiving documents. You will be uploading your passport. We will be uploading the grant document, an unsigned grant document, which you will then download, sign, and then upload again back into the portal. The medical form you will upload into the portal, and your email address confirming for IIEK. We'll talk about IIE Pay a little bit later on, but for anyone whose bank does not work with Zella or IIE Pay, there is a separate form to complete and then upload into the portal to provide information about how we can disperse your grant payments. There is other information, I guess, available in the portal for travel or reference to travel, but for the Fulbright Global Scholar Award, we do not require you to do anything related to travel within the portal. Your travel request form will be sent directly to our travel agent, HRG, and we will be providing you with instructions and a specific travel request form for doing that later on in the process. And we'll talk about that later on during this webinar as well. Okay, the medical form, medical clearance is a requirement for participation in the Fulbright program. This is true for all Fulbright U.S. scholars, U.S. students, visiting scholars, and our foreign students. So we do require the form to be completed and to be submitted no more than 6 months prior to your grant start date. We also ask that you take these forms with you so that you have medical records, if not hard copy, then electronically. We also require you to receive medical clearance. Until you receive medical clearance, you're not officially a grantee and not able to receive your grant payments or any other benefits until you are cleared. Some common errors that are made on the form is making sure that you and your position have signed the form. TB tests and vaccinations are not required for medical clearance. These are only for foreign or non-U.S. participants. You may need vaccinations for international travel, such as yellow fever, at the advice of your physician and or your international travel clinic and according to any entry or transit requirements for a given country. So this may not be not have to be included on the medical form itself, but just a reminder for you that the country you're going to might have separate specific vaccination requirements. And then once you've received, once you have medical clearance, you can book your travel. Okay. Okay, some of the grant terms and conditions for this specific award. The grant may not be postponed to a subsequent academic year. You would have to reapply for the following competition if you're unable to take up the award. However, you do have up to 2 years to complete your segments. And all grant segments must be completed by August 31st, 2021. We do require you to report all other fellowships, grants, and salaries in addition to sabbatical and other support from home institutions. We also require you to report any changes that occur before or during the grant. And also, participants must receive approval from IIE, from ECA, and the U.S. Embassy or Fulbright Commission for any changes to segment grant length or date. The calculation for your grant award is based on the time in country for your Fulbright activity. So if there are any changes to the length of your grant to any of the segments, then that will also affect the amount of your award. I also want to highlight that dependent benefits are not available for the Global School Scholar Award. The grant benefits do include a monthly stipend, which is based on the cost of living for each country. So as you're going to more than one country, the stipend will be different for each country in most cases. In addition to the monthly stipend, and also the stipend includes your housing allowance and living allowance. That's all rolled up into your monthly stipend. In addition to that, the benefits include a one-time allowance for relocation expenses for each country visit, and this is in the amount of $500. We also include round-trip travel to each of the host countries you're visiting. This is provided as a benefit, though the cost of travel is not provided directly to you. It is, we arrange the travel on your behalf. And also a book or research allowance. This is a one-time allowance in the amount of $750 per country visit to assist with the cost of teaching and research materials. We do encourage you to donate the books that you purchase to the host institution upon completion of your grant segment. And IIE will contact each participant in advance of the start of each proposed grant segment to confirm the specific dates of travel and other details. Grantees will receive a grant document for each proposed grant. No, we will provide you with a grant document for all grant segments, and then ask to return a signed copy to the portal within 21 days of receipt. Okay, and then I'm going to, on the next slide, walk you through some sample payment schedules. Just pointing out that these are sample payment schedules. Many of your proposed segments are very different. So in most cases, you will have just an individualized payment schedule depending on the structure of your travel plans. So this is an example of consecutive segments. We would issue the first payment approximately 1 month before the start of the grant, which would include the one-time allowance for host country one and the stipend for months one, two, and three. Then the second payment would be issued 3 months after your grant start, and including the one-time allowances for host country two and then the stipend for months four, five, and six. This would be an example of a six-month grant with consecutive back-to-back country visits. And again, the payment schedules will vary depending on the length of the segments. And before any payments can be issued, we do require the signed grant document and medical clearance on file in the portal. This is a sample payment schedule for non-consecutive segments. For example, someone traveling in September of this year and then completing the second segment in the following year, so September 2020. Again, we will issue the first payment approximately 1 month before the start of the grant and include the one-time allowances for the host country one and monthly stipend for host country one. Prior to segment two, approximately a month before, we would disperse the payment for the one-time allowances for host country two and monthly stipend for host country two. So again, this is just a sample of a payment schedule, but it will be different depending on the length and number of segments for your individual award. Okay, next I'm going to talk about IIE Pay, which is the process by which we distribute and disperse the grant payments. Money is transferred directly into your bank account within a few days of when the payment is ready, and your first grant payment will be sent to you via IIE Pay. You will receive two important emails, one from your IIE advisor and the second from Zella or Bank of America that includes registration details on enrolling in IIE Pay. So be sure to look out for these communications to ensure that your first stipend is processed appropriately. You must have a U.S. bank account for IIE to deposit your first payment electronically. We are unable to disperse payments to a foreign bank account. So for the duration of your grant, we'll be disbursing the payments into the U.S. bank account. And we do need to make sure that your primary email address is up to date and the one that we have on file, as we'll be using your email address for important communication regarding your payment as well as other aspects of your grant. Okay, and again, send an email to globalscholaradvising@iie.org if your bank does not accept Zella or if there are any limitations on the transfer amount. Okay, Next, we're going to talk about the travel and arranging your travel. And I'm going to turn it over to Rachel to go through some of these details with you.
Great. Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. Just to echo Susan and David, congratulations again on receiving the Global Scholar Award. We're very excited for you, and we hope that this webinar is helpful in answering many of your questions. As Susan mentioned, the Fulbright program will cover the cost of your international airfare to and from your host country. It's very important that for your safety, you inform your host, your U.S. Embassy contact, or your Fulbright Commission contact, and IIE if you make any changes to your travel plans before you receive your travel itinerary and also after. Anytime you leave the country, we want to be informed so that we can keep everybody else informed as well. So when the time comes, and just to reiterate, we'll need your signed grant document, a medical form, and passport on file in order to start the travel process. Our first step will be to send you travel instructions and a travel reservation request form. The next step is to submit this travel request form to IIE's travel administrator, which is HRG Worldwide, and you can do so by emailing them directly. It's iie.us@hrgworldwide.com. And it's not necessary to copy the Global Scholar Advising email. Once HRG has identified potential itineraries, they'll send you the itinerary via email. And we ask that you approve or deny the itinerary within 24 hours or less, because HRG will have to hold that itinerary. And so it's important that you either approve it or respond and say that you would like something different within that time frame. Once you've done that, then IIE will either approve or deny your flight. So HRG will send us your itinerary, and we make sure that the flights are Fly America compliant and that they're within the budget. And finally, once IIE has approved your flight, your itinerary will be issued immediately after, and that will just be sent to you in an email. And just a note to reiterate, the Global Scholar Award grants do not pay for dependent travel. That said, if you decide to book their travel through HRG, if you'll be flying with your family, you will need to provide the administrator, HRG, with authorization to charge your personal credit card for their travel. Keep in mind there is a service fee for booking through HRG for additional travelers. And feel free to reach out to us at any time if you do have questions about the travel booking process. Again, for your safety, please inform your host, your U.S. Embassy contact, the Fulbright Commission, and IIE if you plan to change your initial travel itinerary and any time you leave the country. Okay, I'm also going to talk about the ASPE Health Benefits, which is another benefit of the Global Scholar Award. And again, ASPE is the Accident and Sickness Protection Program that is provided to all Fulbright recipients. So again, the Fulbright Scholar Program provides a health benefit plan for the duration of the program. So ASPE does not provide comprehensive insurance coverage, and it does not cover pre-existing conditions or personal travel outside of the fellow's country of assignment. It's intended only to serve as a supplemental coverage while in the country of assignment. So keep in mind, it is limited coverage, serving as supplemental coverage for your primary coverage. That said, ASPE does not satisfy the minimum essential health coverage under the individual shared responsibility requirement of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or PPACA. It is the fellow's responsibility to comply with these requirements, and it is strongly recommended, but not required, that fellows have or purchase comprehensive health insurance with international coverage during the program. So to access your ASPE health benefit coverage, you can visit the website. It's highlighted up on the screen. It's the myplan.sevencorners.com. IIE does not email or mail your ASPE card. Grantees will have to log into the Seven Corners portal to access the card, and we encourage you to print it out. It can just be downloaded from the site once your travel is approved. IIE will notify you once the ASPE coverage is active as well. The ASPE health coverage covers the grant dates, and it begins when you are in the host country. You are not covered when you arrive early or on vacation outside of the country for any reason, including conferences. And more details can be found online in the U.S. Scholar Guide, which is in the link that Susan had mentioned earlier, and also on the Seven Corners website. And if you have specific coverage questions, we encourage you to contact Seven Corners directly, including if a particular medication is covered and what will or will not be covered while overseas.
Thanks, Rachel. On to taxes. As I mentioned earlier, we do not make any withholding on your grant. So we also do not issue any W-2 or 1099 forms. We are not authorized to advise on tax issues, but we do have some resources available that we can refer you to, which is the IRS website, irs.gov. And then the IRS also has specific information about how to report Fulbright grants. So that link is up there on the slide. www.irs.gov/individuals/international-taxpayers/Fulbright-grant. And this is also available on the Scholar website, the password protected page. That's about it on taxes. We do have some reporting requirements during your grant period. We ask you to submit an interim report, and notification to complete this will be sent to you by email about midway through your grant or at the end of segments. And then the final report is due after you've completed the end of your last grant segment. And also, a notification to complete it will be sent to you by email. Okay, sharing your story. Before you go, we will collect from you a headshot, which should be at least 500 pixels wide with 300 DPI. And along with a headshot is a brief bio, which we're asking you to keep to 125 words, which will include your name, host institution, the host countries, your discipline, and project title. And this will be added to our highlights page for the Global Scholar specific webpage on CIES.org. We've got the previous cohorts up and available, and we would like to add you to it. During your grant, we ask that you send photos or videos to globalaward@iie.org and share links to your personal or professional blog. Use the #GlobalScholar hashtag when sharing your photos, videos, and memories of your Fulbright experience on social media. And we also encourage you to submit a post to the Fulbright Scholar blog by emailing outreach@iie.org for more information. Here's just a little checklist for things to keep in mind during your grant and in preparation for departure. To upload the biographical page of your passport to the portal, complete and upload the medical form to the portal, and upload your signed grant document to the portal. Make sure you apply for a visa or research permit if applicable, and be sure to contact the U.S. Embassy or the Fulbright Commission in the host country to verify the visa requirements. Be sure to submit your travel request form to HRG to book your travel after medical clearance and the grant documents have been submitted to IIE. Make sure that you communicate with your host institution regarding your arrival and coordinate and confirm your in-country housing arrangements. And again, IIE is not assisting with housing arrangements, but the Fulbright Commission, U.S. Embassy, or your host institution in the host country should be able to provide you with some information about where and how to go about finding housing. Coordinate and discuss your visa requirements and arrival with each U.S. Embassy or Fulbright Commission, not just the first one that you're going to. Just make sure you have the information and details for every country that you'll be visiting. And remember to notify IIE if any of the details of your grant changes. There's another resource available to you, which is actually provided by ECA. This is a pre-departure resources webpage. It's intended primarily for scholars that are going to the host country for their full duration, so a 9 or 10 month grant. So it may not include, again, all relevant information, but can certainly provide some useful information. And also the alumni.state.gov, which is available to all U.S. government-sponsored participants. It's actually available to you from immediately the start of your grant. You don't have to be an alumni at the end of your grant. You can actually access it during your grant. David, do you want to mention anything else about either of these resources? Do you happen to know when the pre-departure resource webpage is updated and available?
I think they're working on it as we speak. I think it's tied more closely to, the pre-departure orientations for the core U.S. students and scholars departing. So it's in the works, but not available yet. But I suspect it'll be available probably in early summer, I think, is what we're shooting for. But I think it'll be useful to everyone, and we'll be adding to it, for that matter, throughout the year. So it's a good reference point for people to take a look at and stay connected to. Let me add one more thing about so we talked about alumniestate.gov. One other reference I would like to make, which maybe a little bit of information overload for you now as you're about to go, but you should realize, maybe you already know this, is that there's also something called the Fulbright Association, which is a U.S. organization made up primarily of U.S. alumni of Fulbright. And they have chapters in 50-plus cities across the country, so that, think about them as something that you might be interested in when you get back, a way of maintaining connections through Fulbright with Fulbrighters. Staying engaged, and for that matter, there's nothing wrong with you contacting them even while you're overseas. You know, easy website, your www.fulbright.org, and you can see online the kinds of things they're doing and where the chapter is located and so forth. And, you know, if that interests you, connect with them and you know, a great way, as I said, for you to stay engaged with Fulbright after you get back.
Great. Thanks, David. Okay. So finally, if you have any additional questions specific to your grant, again, contact us at globalscholaradvising@iae.org. Rachel will be moving on to another position within the organization, and Hillary Price will be joining the Global Scholar Award and taking over the advising portfolio for the Fulbright Global Scholars. So both Hillary and I are available to answer any of your questions. And I'm going to take a look if there are any if there are some questions that you've written in. Okay. First question, how long does it take for medical clearance so that I can book my travel? What's the current turnaround time?
A week?
Yeah. Okay. So our physician, we have a, there's a State Department physician that reviews all of the medical forms that come in. So his turnaround time at the moment is about 1 to 2 weeks. So that's about the time frame you can expect. Another question, can we get support to present at conferences in each country? Unfortunately, there are no additional funds to support conference attendance or presentations, but if you do attend, please let us know, and certainly you know, share in that experience. There's a question about when the Fulbright grant documents will be available. We're sort of working through by date, and so those of you departing in June and July have received your grant documents. We'll be working next with August and September. And so if, you know, you're not departing until later in the fall or winter, you'll be getting your grant documents probably later in the summer. So not to worry that you haven't seen those yet. Okay, there's a question about the health insurance. Are we supposed to take out an additional policy for international health insurance in addition to what Fulbright provides?
Yeah, so the ASPE health benefit, it is limited coverage. It serves as supplemental coverage, and so we do recommend that you purchase comprehensive health insurance that does have international coverage during the program. And again, I would direct you to Seven Corners and ASPE to see their full list of benefits and what is covered. For example, the pre-existing conditions would not be covered, and that would be another reason that we would recommend that you have your own health insurance plan with international coverage.
But also, it should depend on your specific health conditions.
Right.
It's you know best what type of, you know, what type of treatment you might require, and to use your best judgment as to whether you will require additional coverage or not. ASPE does not cover any medical expenses within the U.S., so bear in mind that, you know, if you're doing a segment in September and then another one in the following June, between October and April or May when you're in the United States, ASPE will not apply to you. It's only intended to provide coverage while you're overseas doing your specific grant sponsored project. Okay, a question about when you need to notify us before leaving the country. That is while you're in the host country and pursuing your grant objectives. If you plan to leave for any period, whether you are going to another country for the weekend or for a few days, then you do need to notify us and the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy in the host country to let us know where you're going and for how long. Okay, question about pushing up or delaying a start date by a couple of weeks. Does that require permission? Please do let us know or keep us informed. And certainly if your travel has already been booked and that would require a change to your itinerary, then that's something that we would need to know to coordinate that with HRG. There's a question about traveling back to the U.S. or to a conference to another country during the visit. We do ask that you discuss that with us before you agree to that. In some cases, it will depend on the length of time that you plan to be out of the host country, and will also depend on the U.S. Embassy or the Fulbright Commission in that country. Since many of you are going to the country for just a month, you know, if you leave for 4 or 5 days, it's actually a pretty significant amount of time for that country visit. If you're there for 3 months and you're leaving for 4 or 5 days, it's a different story. So each of you will have probably a specific set of circumstances. So we do just ask that you contact us first and let us know what and for how long you plan to leave. Okay, next question is about the contact in the host country, either an embassy or the Fulbright Commission. The individual contacts have been sent to you by email. I sent those to you in my introductory message. So the in-country contact is in that email. If you have misplaced it, please feel free to send an email to globalscholaradvising@iie.org, and we'll be sure to get the contact information to you again. And then also within the scholar guide or on our website, we have information about which countries have a Fulbright Commission and which do not, which we call post countries. Okay, a question about the dependent travel. If I buy my dependent airfares not through HRG, will they work with me to ensure I'm on the same flight with them? If you've already purchased your dependent travel, then let me backtrack. We are authorized to arrange travel on flights that are compliant with the Fly America Act. So if you have booked your dependents' travel on a flight that is already Fly America compliant, then it is likely that HRG can also put you on that flight. However, we're also looking at we're also doing a cost comparison. We have a specific amount that is set aside to cover the cost of your travel, and we need to make sure with HRG that the cost is within those boundaries. So what I do encourage is that either you go ahead and arrange with HRG first to book your travel and then make sure your dependents are on that flight, or you can also ask HRG to book your dependents' travel when they're booking your flight, just bearing in mind that you'll be paying for the cost of those tickets for your dependents. Okay, someone has asked how many Fulbright Global Scholars there are this year. 25 have been selected. And you'll see their information. Once you submit your bio and your headshot, we'll be adding everybody to the Global Scholar Award, and then you can all find each other. Okay. Getting a question about how much lead time should we plan for booking housing? I'm going to say that you should probably contact your in-country contacts about that. That's really going to vary from country to country and also depend on how long you're staying. If you're going to be staying for 3 months, you might want more lead time. If you're coming for a month, it might be a little easier to find short-term housing. But your host institution or the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy will probably have a better sense of what it's like on the ground for finding short-term housing. There's a question about how can I pay for my housing rental with international funds transfer. So, this is going to depend on the country that you're going to and also how long you plan on staying in that country. What many people end up doing, I think, is finding an Airbnb for a month. And in most cases, you can pay with a credit card. In other cases, you might be able to pay when you arrive. In some cases, you may pay in cash. But it'll vary from country to country. So, again, I'm going to recommend that any housing questions that you have, that you direct those to your in-country contacts. Okay. There's a question about on the 90-day travel visa. I'm sorry, Beth. I'm not following your questions. I'm going to ask you to send that out. Just send that directly to Global Scholar Advising at IIE.org. For any questions relating to the visa, I'm going to refer you to the in-country contact. Okay. Great. We are right about, okay. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Thank you, Beth. The question is that she's been invited to give a talk at another institution in the country, and they've offered to pay to speak. Is this okay with Fulbright? Yes, this is okay, since it's a benefit that we're not providing to you. Okay. There's a question about what to do about delays in hearing back from in-country Fulbright Commission regarding any date change. If you're having any trouble getting a response from a Fulbright Commission or embassy, I'm not sure how much time has elapsed. Keep in mind, they're very busy with preparing for the arrival of all of their scholars and students. But if, you know, a significant amount of time has passed and you haven't heard anything, then contact us at IIE, Fulbright at Global Scholar Advising at IIE.org, and we can assist and follow up with the relevant contact. Okay, final question, if the PowerPoint from this webinar will be available. The session has been recorded, and we will be posting this up on our website. And we'll include the slides there as well. Great. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If I wasn't able to get to any questions, or if there are any questions you think of afterwards, please email them to globalscholaradvising@iie.org. Thanks. Have a great day.